to be the last thing on my mind. Another summer night had to be the last thing on my mind. Mm-hmm. When love. Said I'm yours, the first time I called you Lord.
Found me in the darkness, wandering through the Pilgrimage here. Pentecostal man, it's a type of emotion. My beloved. God's word tells us the greatest thing that we can ever do is love. When he was asked, "Teacher, which commandment of the law is the greatest?" This is in Matthew 22. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And he went on to say this, "The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Love. It ought to be our motivation. It was Jesus' motivation when he laid down his life for you and me. Love. It ought to be our bond. It's how we become a part of God's family. It's how we can call one another brother and sister in Christ. It ought to be our calling card. I mean, what's our church's motto? That's right. Where everybody is somebody, and that's a demonstration of love. I share all this today because love is our theme. Paul listed some wonderful gifts, but he said the greatest of these is love. It's why we come to church. It's why we go to Sunday school. It's why we sing. It's why we pray. It's why we serve. I mean, listen to these wonderful words that God, through his Holy Spirit, had impressed upon Paul to share with the church in Corinth. And if you're able to, please stand with me as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. "If I speak the languages of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy and is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, does not keep a record of wrongs, finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Verse 8, "Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for languages, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, God, for your word. is not my adoration or compassion or dedication to Stacy, my spouse. The epitome of love is when God held out his hands and he stood between earth and heaven and he sacrificed his life for you and for me. Where he set aside his own desires that we could have a relationship with God the Father. That is what love is like. In this passage of Scripture that Paul has written, he points out that Christian love is the most important of all the gifts that God has given to us through his Holy Spirit. He's calling us to pursue love. With all or without it, all those spectacular gifts are for naught. The greatest of these, again, is love. When it's God's love that is shared through Jesus as well as with each other. In Paul's words to the Corinthians, in God's word to us, I see three characteristics of this greatest of all gifts that God has given to us, that of love. And let me say this before we get to the message. These words that he wrote, though many times we hear about them in weddings, I don't know if Christian and Cameron are going to have portions of this, but most of the weddings that I've ever done, there's been either all or at least a good significant portion of 1 Corinthians 13 shared. But Paul was not writing this to husbands and spouses. He was writing this to all of us, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is how we need to treat one another. This is how we can make a difference in our world. We don't make a difference by getting even. We don't make a difference by acting like the rest of the world. We make a difference by demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ that he has so freely offered to us. So as we look at this passage, Paul opens up with the first three verses starting or talking about the priority of love. Paul introduced the idea that love is the greatest of all gifts. I mean, it's no wonder when he taught and he preached and he wrote about the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12 and 14, right in the middle, he sandwiched the importance of love. And you know that middle stuff is always the best. You ever get those Oreo cookies? Somebody bought me regular Oreo cookies. Get the double stuff, it's the same price. Because it's gooder inside. Well, that's how it is with God. When Paul was talking about the gifts of the Spirit, he puts love right in the middle. That is the best. That's what keeps it together. That's what makes it so very special. Love is the greater gift. Paul closed out chapter 12 saying, but desire greatest gifts. The best gift, the more excellent way, is described in chapter 13. It's love. Love is the greatest of all gifts. And he argued this, that without love, a believer is nothing. Verses 1 and 2. He expressed his commitment to the priority of love over other aspects of life in the Spirit. I can be the great orator or a great communicator, but without love, I am nothing. I can speak prophecy and understand everything, but without love, I am nothing. I can have faith to move mountains, but without love, I'm nothing. I wonder what it will take to convince us without the grace of God to not only receive his grace and his love, but to share it, that we are nothing without it. Without love, we're nothing. We can have the greatest blessings this world has to offer, and we'd still be nothing. We can be blessed with the greatest blessings that heaven has to offer, but without love, we're nothing. He continued in verse 3. Without love, a believer gains nothing. I can give all that I have. I can lay my life down as a sacrifice for another. But without love, I gain nothing. Paul reminded the Corinthians in the second letter, he said this, out of 2 Corinthians 9, remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not out of regret or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The point is this. A cheerful giver gives and does out of love. A cheerful giver is aware that their blessings and abilities come from God. there at the edge of the fence on the outside, watching Brandon have the best time ever. Helen stood there with her hands on her chin, resting it on the fence, watching her little brother have the best time with all the animals, petting them, feeding them, playing with them. Dave felt 50 cents burning a hole in his pocket, wanting so much to be able to help his daughter. But he never offered. She never asked. Helen was following through with a life lesson. Their family goal was love is action. And she demonstrated that love for her little brother. You see, when we love, benefits accrue to another person's account. Love is for them. It's not for me. Love gives. Love does not grab. That's the love of Jesus Christ. Love is the priority. Without love, we're nothing. Without love, we gain nothing. But what exactly is love? How do we describe it? How do we know we love? How do we know that we are loved? Well, God takes time through Paul to write about these things in verses 4 through 7. These are the characteristics of love. Paul focuses on love between Christian brothers and sisters. And these 14 characteristics of love can also be applied to every other relationship that we're in. To our employer or employees, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, as well as within the church. Remember, Jesus told us in John 14, as John recorded it, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And his two greatest commandments again were, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus also commanded us that love one another as I have loved you. So we've heard it described that love is a many splendid thing. We all know that love can lift us up where we belong. We've been told you can't hurry love. We thought to ourselves, I think I love you. We've been promised love will keep us together. We've also experienced you've lost that loving feeling. Many have declared, I want to know what love is. Some have been frustrated with the crazy little thing called love. And there have been messages left saying, I just called to say I love you. Some have even promised, I'd do anything for love. That's just a little take from what Frank shared with us earlier. But my question is this, what is love? What does it look like? How do we know if we've got it? In verses 7 or 4 through 7, we see that love is patient. It means enduring. It means it's forbearing. It means love is not quick to repay for offenses. God's patience slows down the judgment process and offers restoration to us. Patience is not indifference. Patience seeks resolution, whereas indifference only ignores. Also in verse 4, love is kind. It's the way that we treat one another. It's a soft and gentle person. long since I thought.